real quick one here, guys. Really, really quick. Nice and quick. I'm going to tell you whether or not you're going to die soon. So this is how this works, all right? It's a very simple 10-second balance test. Now, the...
Oh, God. My mortality relies on my balance?
Yes. Now, the funny...
This is for the over 50s, though, you see.
This was the funniest part about it, because, like, when we pitch this in, we come in, we have our meeting before the show, and I brought this story up. And before it was halfway out of my mouth, you jumped out of your seat. We're like, I've already done it this morning.
At four in the morning.
You jumped on it straight away.
Well, I saw it and I thought, oh, I've got to test whether I'm going to die soon or not.
Did you have a moment of hesitation? This is kind of like, I know that the internet isn't going to accurately tell me when I'm going to die, but I do have that moment of like, well, am I just messing with things I don't know about? And what happens if I'm tempting fate?
Yeah, it was a risk. I was nervous.
Were you one of the people back in the day who would like look in the mirror with your friends and say, what was it? Like that word three times and then spin around.
I'm none of those things. I don't do Ouija board. I don't do anything. You just don't mess with things that could be a thing.
The study sampled 1,702 participants. They were aged between 51 and 75. Two-thirds of the cohort were men who died from exhaustion during the actual exercise. This is how you do it, okay? This is very, very simple. And you, if you're listening at home, you can do it as
I'm
well.
I'm going to get off my chair and give it a go.
Okay, so get off your chair, get up, stand up, kick your feet off, your shoes off, all that sort of stuff. So what you need to do is you need to place the front of your free foot, so choose a foot, one you're going to stand on, one that's free, on the back of the opposite lower leg. So not on the front of, the back of. So the front of your free foot.
How high does it need to go? Just in the back of my shin or
the knee?
The
back of your opposite lower leg.
Okay.
So the back of the opposite. Now keep your arms by your sides and your gaze fixed straight ahead. And we're just going to see how we go.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Anybody dead yet?
No.
You good?
No. And no matter what happens now, I did this already and I passed. So all of the challenges I put my body through, doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're good, mate.
Hang on. Rami, the producer, is filming us doing this and he just fell over. Oh, my God. You didn't even consider that doing this live on air, if one of us got a bad result, we're going to have to discuss some pretty awkward stuff.
Think of the content arc.
E.g., Rami just fell over.
I can't do it.
Oh, Rami. Oh, come here. Come here, Rami. Come here.
We've only just gotten to love you, too.
Hey, just say, it's been nice knowing you, Mix.
Nice knowing you, Mix listeners. Toodles.
What's it like to go bankrupt? What's it like to have an arranged marriage?
What's it like to be blind from birth?
What's it like to be on death row?
What's it like to be a dominatrix?
What's it like to be polyamorous?
What's it like?
What's it like?
What's it like?
Guys, we do a segment on this show called What's It Like, where we've had fascinating chats with people. We're allowed to ask questions that, you know, we ordinarily wouldn't be able to ask, or maybe have come across things where we go, geez, I wonder what it's like to do that for a living. Well, this is extraordinary. Keely Shoup is a professional cuddler. She cuddles people for a living, awesome. And she joins us on Pete, Matt and Kimber for our latest What's It Like. Good morning to you, Keely.
Good morning.
Keely, this is the kind of job where people might not take it very seriously, but I think it's excellent. I'm walking around on the daily seeing people who desperately need a hug. Are you seeing a big change in people once you've had a session with them cuddling?
Absolutely. I like that you bring up that in some circles or in some instances, it is hard to take this work seriously. I think because of our association with the word cuddle, but this is a therapeutic modality and it can be really profound. I see it change people's lives a lot.
And Keely, you know, you're a certified cuddler. Where does one get the education or the piece of paper, the diploma, the degree to become a cuddler?
There's a couple of great institutions. One I always highly recommend is called Cuddlist, like a violinist, right? So C-U-D-D-L-I-S-T. That offers a training program and a certification program. There's one out of the UK called Professional Cuddlers International. There's one out of Los Angeles, California, here in the US, and it is called Cuddle Sanctuary. There's a couple of really great institutions around.
Keely, when was the moment that you said to yourself, this needs to happen for me. I need to be a professional cuddler. Was there a defining moment that happened?
So I there's two parts, two answers to that question. One, in my family, like with my parents and my siblings, we joke that I have been doing this professionally since I was 5 years old. But I think when I found out as an adult that this was something that had philosophy behind it, it was something that had a really profound impact and could have a really profound impact, and it was backed by a lot of really great information. That's when I was like, as soon as I found out it existed, all these things clicked for me. It's like, oh my gosh, I've been looking for that forever.
How much would people pay for a session to cuddle you?
Right now, my rates are, and it's in US dollars, so I'm not quite sure the conversion, but it's $200 an hour.
That's 10,000 Australians. No, no, not at all. Not at all, Keely.
And are you hugging them the whole time? Are you laying in a bed together? Is it like big spoon, little spoon? How does it work?
Yeah, there's so many different ways. It's very custom tailored to each person. But in general, so there are some sessions where I don't touch my clients at all because I also do trauma processing work. Mm. And so for that, for people who, it's important that there is access at some point to touch because we're trying to work to get that more comfortable. But there may be many sessions where we don't ever touch because they have to get to a point where they're comfortable enough to access it.
Keely, I've been in this situation before, I'm sure many have, where blokes have said, no, I don't want to do anything, I just want to cuddle. How does that boundary really stay in place? Do you have people who suddenly get caught up in the moment and think, I'd like to make this more intimate and become a bit more sexual?
I love this question, and I appreciate you for asking it right now, very much so. And part of why I really, really recommend people get thorough training before they do this is, it is very, when you've got the training to make the environment that you're with someone else, so welcoming and comfortable that at the first sign of that, they feel open, like to say it, like, oh man, I'm noticing that I'm feeling quite a bit more attracted, or I'm noticing that I'm starting to feel a bit more than platonic in this moment. It's like, great, thank you so much for telling me. I'm really glad that you are comfortable enough to say that. If you're willing to, can we shift a little bit? Things like that. It's setting a lot of really clear communication, a lot of clear expectations of what to do in that instance. We don't get a lot of roadmaps like that in interpersonal relationships. And so we do a lot of prepping for this is what you do. And I guide people through that experience so that it's not a, oh no, am I going to be weird? Is it going to be awkward? Oh goodness. Like, there's none of that.
And Keely, apart from remuneration, I mean, you've already mentioned you were sort of hardwired as a kid to enjoy a tactile approach to people. But what do you get from it?
This sounds so corny, and it feels corny as it's coming out of my mouth, but it feels like my life's purpose. It feels so in line with who I am in the world, who I want to be in the world, and how I want to help and impact the world, that it's like, I can't imagine doing anything else personally.
Wicked. I love it. Yeah. I take it very seriously. I think it sounds awesome. And anyone who can turn it into a monetized business doing something that they enjoy, wicked. Yeah. You go.
Keely, it's been really nice talking to you this morning. It's been like a warm hug.
It has.
KeelyShoup.com if you'd like to check out more of this, S-H-O-U-P. Nice to chat to you, Keely. Good on you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Now, some of our younger listeners may not be aware that we have a ghost town here in WA, a once thriving town that has now been de-gazetted in 2007, meaning that its name no longer appears on maps or road signs. Mm. And it was because of asbestos. It was a huge mine there at Whitnoom. And, of course, after we realised over the course of years how dangerous asbestos was, Whitnoom was wiped off the map. But of course, go on.
I was just going to say, one of the most mind-blowing things I've ever seen in my life, and I know it's an exaggerated claim, but I legitimately mean this, is seeing pictures of Whitnoom and the miners there and seeing them shoveling that stuff into, like, barrels.
Yes.
40-gallon drums. And the just smoke.
Yes.
Everywhere.
Yeah, the dust. And incredible. Of course, causes asbestosis and many lives have been lost.
And the government just cleared them out, right?
They just said
everyone has to leave.
Everyone
this
has
town.
To go out. You're not really supposed to go. Well, you're not allowed to go there, but people do go there because it's a weird point of interest, but also very beautiful.
Mm.
And there are people who made Whitnoom their home.
Yeah.
And up until recently, there were still 14 people living in Whitnoom. There's now only two. And I heard on the radio one of the ladies who's still there, a lovely lady called Lorraine Thomas, and she's due to leave. But I heard her speaking about It's her home. She loves it there.
That would just be so heartbreaking. Like, you want to stay, but it's not great.
No.
She's obviously been there much past the expiry date of when she should have left.
Absolutely. And you know, it's time to go. But you know, apparently it's a very beautiful part of the Hamersley Range. And she's got memories there. But, you know, I've lived in some terrible places.
Yes.
Once you make it your home, you know, it's your home.
Yeah, you don't want to go.
I lived in a place in London above a working horse stables.
Oh, God, that was stunk.
It stank. Not the poo part of it wasn't the problem. It was the horse urine.
Oh.
It was disgusting, but you get used to it,
yeah.
And you forget, because it was right in the middle of London. It was an awesome location, and I'd come home from doing a comedy tour and open my front door and go, "Oh God, that's right! I live in a place that smells of horse wee." But once you got used to it again, you go, but I'm living in the middle of London and I adored it.
And I think that's what you're talking about. It's like part of that experience. Like, I remember when I first moved out of home, I was only 17, moved into a place in South Frio, and I loved this place. I moved out with a mate of mine and it had the original 60s wallpaper and it was super cool. But it wasn't that safe. Like, the windows could absolutely, like, they just came straight out of the frames. Like, you could just, they weren't the right size. So you could just lift the windows out of the frames. The front door had someone had punched a hole through the door where they'd broken in previously and we didn't have it repaired.
It wasn't crim safe.
It was not safe at all. There were ants everywhere. It had a weird smell. And my parents didn't want me in that house because they didn't feel it was very safe for a 17-year-old. But I loved it. I would not leave.
Absolutely. It's your home. It's got its problems, but it's my home. Those wacky, weird, maybe terrible, maybe unlivable places that you decided, you know what, I love it here. Yeah. It's got problems, but it's my home.
We've got Paul in Seville Grove. We'll say no more, Paul.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Good, Paul. Tell us about the house. It's got some issues, but you do love it.
Yeah, we used to live in a house in Claremont, and the lady, it was an old house, and the lady had divided the house in two. And it was real, like, the front room had an old fireplace, and you go down a corridor and the kitchen was that small you could actually put your hands out and touch either sides of the wall in this kitchen. But she was a bit senile, you know. One time in the front room, a hive of bees had come down the chimney. We came home to a lounge room full of bees, so we got a beekeeper out to come out. And after we got rid of them, she came over and was saying, you're not allowed to keep bees in the house. It's against the tenants. And I'm like, are you joking? But also the train was right in front of the house. So the trains would go past all the time and people would go, oh, what's that noise? And we go, oh, it's the train line. But it was in Claremont and it was 5 minutes down the road from work.
Yeah.
But, you know, eventually, you know, just the senile lady, she just got it onto us and we ended up having to move, you know.
Mm. Yeah. And, you know, for a brief period, you got to say you lived in Claremont.
Yes, yes. You're not allowed to have bees. Well, you're not allowed to have a kitchen that's the size of a toilet, but there you go.
You going to say Danny or Danny?
Danny.
Hi, Danny. In Kingsley, good morning to you. Walk us through it. Got its problems, but it's your home.
It's not my home anymore, but, quite a few years ago, I lived out in a property in Henleybrook that was a stable converted to living quarters.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, winters like this, it had gaps in the walls, so it was freezing cold in winter. My friends thought it was a bit weird if I invited them over. It was a very strange place to live. But I knew it was a really weird place to live when I started discovering scorpions in my kitchen.
Oh, yes, that'll do it.
I mean, we've got the ants, we've got the scorpions.
Wow.
God, what do you do with scorpions?
Actually, that's a great question, Daddy. What did you do with scorpions?
I kind of just put him in a little container and put him back out in the paddock because I was like, well, he's a pretty rare sight, so he's obviously part of the ecosystem somehow. I'll move him out.
He kept coming back in. So there's your problem.
Yeah.
Hey, Amanda in Swanview, what about you?
Hi, guys.
Hey, going, Amanda. Well, tell us about the house that, you know, had a few issues, but, hey, it's your home.
So it was a childhood house that I lived in. In Kalgoorlie at the bottom end of Hannon Street. Old, really old house on stumps. The stumps were sinking on the sides, so it actually bowed the inside of the house.
Yes.
So my brother would sit in the kitchen area and race his cars down the slope. When we first moved in there, we actually put the washing machine into the laundry and it fell through the floor because the floor was that brittle. And then one night we're sitting there and we're watching TV and the doorbell rang. So my dad went to the door, nobody was there, sat down again, doorbell rang again. So went to the door again, still nobody there. And we then found out that there was actually a family of cockroaches living in the doorbell. And every time they went past the wire, they'd zap themselves and the doorbell would ring.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
So they loved their home. They were being electrocuted by living in it, but they loved it.
I don't want to leave.
Frio Dockers News. You'll hear that first right here. And Boomer Home Loans. They're first for over 55s. Please welcome Dockers coach, Justin Longmire.
Yeah, back after the bye. They take on the Blues this Saturday at Marvel Stadium. Bounce down is 11:45 our time. Good morning to you, coach.
G'day, guys. Running a bit late today.
That's all right. You're in here, and if you come in a little bit late, you get clapped in.
Yeah, yeah.
With
how
your
exciting.
Your fashionable baseball cap.
Yeah, yeah. I've rocking the baseball cap. Didn't have time to do my hair this morning, so... Had to just whack on a cap.
I thought I was the only one in the studio desperately trying to hang on to my youth.
Yeah.
Hey, we're back. So the Blues this weekend, and that'll be quite a game. I think it's the perfect game, actually, like to get the guys going after a bye, because obviously, you know, the Blues have been one of our big stitch-up points the last couple of years.
Yeah, away against a good side. Yeah, you're right. We need to be on our game. And, yeah, I think when you play a good team after the bye, players automatically are on their games when they hit the club early in the week. So feel like we've had a pretty good preparation. It's going to be actually a good round of footy.
Yes.
It's the top eight are all playing each other. So, yeah, it's going to be a good watch.
Right now, I know you come to me for the footy journalism, so brace yourself.
Carolyn Wilson, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't know whether I'm ready for this. It's early in the morning.
Well, look, you know, a lot of chat around Melbourne ruckman Luke Jackson turning purple. And I know you can't talk about that specifically, but let's just say hypothetically, if he were going to join the boys, where would you put him?
Oh, that's a great question, Kim.
No, that's a great question, and one I'm not willing to go anywhere near because it just opens a big can of worms, and I know that someone's going to be listening to this and they're going to take it out of context, and it's not really my job to talk about other players at other clubs, and we've got a lot of players out of contract, and I wouldn't feel great if other coaches were talking about where they were playing our players and that type of thing, so... I'm just going to stay clear of that one, but it's a good question.
Oh, and that was a very good answer.
Yeah, very good answer.
Great very
question,
good.
Great answer. Great team, guys. Well done. Great team. Just bank the 4 points and move on. All right, Manny, what you got?
Well, I guess what's interesting about your reticence, and I appreciate you don't want to disrespect other clubs, yeah, but we are in it is a profession, and people need to be thinking about their future. And as you say, players are out of contract at the end of the year. So presumably chats do happen behind the scenes.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. And we've got a list management committee that talk about every free agent, every player out of contract. And targets we want to get years in advance. We just don't need to make those conversations public.
No, nor
and,
should
and
you.
And I think that's probably the difference between the AFL and some other leagues around the world and around the country is that there is still some, I suppose, privacy around those trade talks this early in the season, whereas maybe the NRL is different and other sports around the world are different, but there is that privacy in the AFL and we've got to respect that.
Yeah,
I think it's amazing in any sport anyway, the fact that people talk about what everyone earns, where they're going. Like we would in normal life, we wouldn't really have those conversations. They're kind of the ones you avoid.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that all adds to the pressures on sports people and people with fame, I suppose, is that everyone wants to talk about their private business and what they're doing tomorrow and what they're doing at the moment. And it just adds to the burden.
Mm. I guess the only sort of fear one might have, for want of a better word, after a break when it's been a terrific start to the season is, you know, did you want that momentum to end? And is that something that's in the back of your mind? And how do you address that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's in the back of our mind. It always is. And the way we frame up the buy is really important. So we like to give our players time off early in the buy period so we get them back and get them into the swing of things. And that's why we did a really hard training session last Saturday to try and get them back into the swing of, you know, the week to week grind of footy, really. And as I said before, I feel like we've had a pretty good prep. We'll need to be at our best. Carlton are really good in the contest, so that's where you can sometimes be a little bit off that intensity around the contest after a break. So yeah, we'll need to be good from the go.
Pete, you can go now instead of just staring at him dreamily across the desk.
Oh, that's fine.
You can chat. It's your turn.
Okay, all right. oh, look, one more, like, you know, before we let you go, mate. And I guess, you know, an opportunity to sort of, because you cop that stuff all week and that sort of chat. One for you to turn the tables on us, if you like. Would you like to ask any of us about how our behind-the-scenes contract talks with Nova are going? At all? But, no?
Nah, no. No, sorry, I'll come up with a question next week. I'll do some calling behind the scenes and talk to my people and see whether we can come up with a good gossip question next week.
All unreal. Right. Great. Hey, listen, legit, good luck against the Blues. I mean, it is an important game because to be able to kickstart the second half of the season with a massive win, and especially over there at Marvel Stadium, would be a great way to get the Fremantle faithful fired up and then to have you guys back at home in a fortnight's time. So good to catch up. Good
Thanks,
luck.
Thanks, guys. Good on you.
Look, guys, the following message is brought to you by Captain Obvious. But apparently to get the best quality sleep, you should sleep in the position that's most comfortable for you.
Okay. Wow. Bang.
Well done.
Okay. Amazing. Here's Pink.
I mean, yeah. you know, it's taken a lot of people in coats to put this together.
Oh, yeah.
But Dr. Mehmet Yücel Ergagan, a Turkish doctor, has done a fair bit of sleep studies on this, and he has said that actually the position that you're sleeping in could really affect what's happening to you, not only in your dreams, but the general feeling that it gives you during the night.
Oh, really?
Your general sleep feeling, I guess, and how it might affect how you wake up.
The vibe.
The vibe. Yeah. You know what? That's exactly right, Matt. It's the vibe of the thing.
Mm.
And he's saying, like, do you guys know, do you have a regular sleeping position? Like
on my
side
back. I sleep on my back.
On your back? Mm. Yeah.
I like to sleep on my tummy with my arms up under the pillow.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah, no, legit. Yeah.
Back sleepers can be challenging because it's the most common position to stimulate nightmares.
Okay.
So it can be, you know, you can often get that kind of feeling of feeling trapped, but, you know, it's good if it's working out for you.
I don't have nightmares. I'm living one.
Yeah. They reckon that if you sleep on your right side, you'll feel feelings of safety and relief.
Okay.
But if you sleep on your left side, you can experience intense emotions and insecurity. But they say if you're a stomach sleeper, you may notice that you have more erotic dreams.
Wow, this is interesting.
Okay.
This is very interesting.
So if you're
actually looking
for erotic dreams, they say you can try and stimulate that part of your brain just by laying on your stomach while you sleep.
I never remember my dreams.
No?
Anyway, so yeah.
I wake up from those erotic dreams and try to remember them. I try to get back there as quickly as I possibly can.
I do love the way dreams make you feel like that. Like I've woken up a few times and, you know, dreamt that your partner's cheating on you and you're like really dark at them.
Yes.
You know, like proper dark. And you know that it was a dream, wasn't their fault, but it feels real. Feels like it happens.
Yeah.
And that is why I sometimes feel awkward when I come to work if I've been sleeping on my stomach.
Oh, really? And why would that be?
Oh, occasionally you guys might have featured. Now and then, you might have featured in my life.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's nice to know you think of us outside of work.
It's a starring role.
at the same time, or what?
Pete, Matt and Kimber.
WA police have lowered the fitness requirements for new recruits because the previous battery of fitness tests was scaring off potential applicants. This is the same fitness test that you went and did.
It was hard.
Hey,
I'm not super fit, am
I? You'd expect that this would be, you know, they're meant to. Anyway, should we be concerned that officers won't be physically up for the task of policing? To find out more, let's cross to our police liaison officer, Senior Sergeant Simon Sirius. Senior Sergeant, good morning to you.
Good morning, Pete, Vilcombe and Kimber, and a very good day to you, Matthew.
Oh, Senior Sergeant Simon Sirius, it's been too long. It's great to chat again. Why are we lowering these physical requirements?
Oh, Kimber, it's wonderful to hear your beautiful voice again. Look, the short answer is that it was all just a bit too hard. our community is very diverse, and we believe the police force should reflect that diversity. From the archetypal handsome jock, if you will, from the Revenge of the Nerds movie franchises, to the other end of the spectrum, the pale, podgy nerds themselves, and, well, everything in between.
Senior Sergeant Sirius, isn't there a concern that criminals will quite literally be able to outrun these less than fit police?
That's a great question, as always, Matt. The short answer is yes. The WA police have changed our thinking in terms of chasing perpetrators. I mean, we've seen in recent decades police forces across the world, including our own WA police force, moving away from being the community standard bearers we once were and instead heading towards a more heavily armed paramilitary style force, ready to kick heads, particularly those pesky motorcycle gangs. Mm. And although that style of policing has worked at times, we now feel that with the police force full of unfit officers, a more Eastern-style, holistic, philosophical approach to policing would be better.
Oh.
So from now on, police will do nothing. We'll do nothing at all to apprehend suspects,
okay.
Believing instead that a greater power has a plan for us all, and if the perpetrator is destined to be apprehended, he, she, or they will be caught when the universal oneness governs that it's time.
Wow.
Interesting.
Mm.
The lowering of these physical test standards, I mean, it puts us in line with the rest of the country. So why were WA's so hard in the first place?
Oh, look, I think we can all agree that the term for our modern world is inclusion for all. And nothing says no one is missing out like the lowering of standards. Our officers may not be able to scale a fence or run after a perpetrator or indeed live past 55, but I think we can all agree that WA Police will be an inclusive, happy workplace from this day forward.
Yeah, great. Oh, and Senior Sergeant Simon Sirius, I hope you don't mind me asking, will there be any kind of compensation for the police in the past who have had to do all the hard exercise?
No, I'm afraid I'm not at liberty to divulge that information at the moment, Kimber. It's a great question, but I'll have to defer to our lawyers.
Okay.
Thank you, Senior Sergeant Simon Sirius. Appreciate your time and nice to hear from you this morning.
Lovely to hear from you guys.
Have faith.
Believe. We must have faith.
Ooh, I gotta have faith.
Do not lose your hope.
Jane and Hazelmere, good morning.
Good morning.
How's your morning going, Jane? What are you up to today?
Great. On my way to work.
Okay.
Yep. Well, Jane, you know, meet Kimber. Kimber Jane.
Hi, Jane. Oh, Jane, we go way back.
You go way back?
Oh, our parents used to know each other. You know, we used to bathe together as kids. No, I don't. It's nice to meet you, Jane.
Jane, we're going to get Kimber to exit the studio for a moment.
I'm going to finish my other 10 squats.
Finish your 10 squats. Very good.
You should see, Jane, honestly, you should see. Oh, so Kimber's pretty committed to getting rid of her pancake butt. Just put a couple of inches on there. You should see her form since she started. Incredible.
It's really improved.
It's really improved.
Yeah. Incredible. Good on her. Go,
yep.
Girl.
Go, girl.
There she goes. Well, let's hope that she can have good form and win you this $150 spent at Abbey Beach Resort. Is that what we're playing for here?
That's what we're playing for there. Nice one.
Now, Jane, the category we're going to give Kimber, I would say homewares, something like that.
Like furniture.
Furniture.
Furniture?
Yeah.
Is it furniture?
Yeah.
There's even in particular, we'll go a bit more specifically, bedroom furniture.
Bedroom furniture.
Yeah.
There's going to be a question related to that category. What do you think? Do you think Kimber would know the answer or not?
Totally have faith.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I hear you. Kimber's very sort of onto that sort of thing.
So we're going with, you're having faith in Kimber.
That she'll know. All right.
Sure am.
Let's get the squatter in.
Don't say anything, Jane. Keep it stum.
Thanks.
Here she is. How'd you go?
I'm good. I did a good, I think I got eight in.
Peter's
really?
Just singing what? Your praises then, saying your form is wonderful.
Yeah, I said if I don't get a butt out of it, at least I've got good form.
Mm. What were you doing out there? You got eight away. We're on the phone to Jane for like a minute and a half.
Yeah, but if you do them slower, you get a bit more burn.
Oh, look at you.
Oh, God,
well
you are.
Done.
I'm trying to increase my butt, Peter.
No,
I'm doing
well
it for giggles,
well
mate.
anyway, hey, Jane. Okay.
Hey.
Do you know? Oh, it's all right.
Yeah, you do.
So the category today, Kim, is bedroom furniture.
Oh, okay, unusual. Ooh, that's an unusual category, but cool.
Well, we know you know your way around your bed.
Bedroom.
Yeah? We know you know your way around a bed. All right, where's this going?
No, here's where it's going. What is the most commonly purchased mattress?
Size.
Size.
Because you've been talking a lot about your bed, Love Late, and getting a new bed and how you built your bed base and you've gone on and on about it.
A good bed will change your life.
And you knew the dimensions to the millimetre of your, was it your king? Are you Super King?
Yeah, but the Super King's 270 by 240.
Oh, Jesus.
There you go.
Yeah, wow.
King so, is, of course, wow. You know, there's singles, there's doubles, there's queens.
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough one because, I mean, single beds, bucket loads of kids.
Mm.
Bucket loads of kids out there, man. Everyone buys a single bed for their kid.
Mm-hmm.
Adults, I mean, most people, I think, would be in a queen. I feel like king is only if you've got the big enough bedroom.
Mm.
Doubles, I don't even think get a look in. They're like an old school, you know. That's what? Like just because you've got a slightly taller teen, I think.
Back in the day, I mean, our parents, they shared a double all of their lives.
Yeah, my parents did.
But, you know, our parents came out of wartime, guys.
Hey, Jane, would you, without sort of giving anything away, do you think you'd know the answer to this?
Yeah. Pretty confident.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Jane's got experience in the mattress industry. All right. Look, I don't know the answer. I'm trying to think, like, single beds for kids. I'm like, if people had multiple kids and one couple in the house had, like, three kids, it'd be three single beds, except your kids who sleep in queen beds because they're luxurious. I'm going to go with queen.
Queen.
Oh, I might regret this.
Okay.
I feel like it's single bed now. I don't really know.
Hey, Jane, what was your answer, by the way?
Yeah, I'm thinking single.
Okay. All right.
Interesting. Very interesting. That's the 100% locked in answer.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
I'm locking in, but I should have gone single, shouldn't I?
No.
If it turns out to be single, because Jane said single, we'd give it to her anyway, right, if that was right?
I've got a feeling whatever they say, we're going to give it to Jane.
You're correct.
Yes?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yes. Oh, well, hang on. Jane, did you have faith in me?
I did have faith in you.
Yay! Yay!
Well done, team.
Thanks,
good
Jane.
Work.
Do you know the stats or not?
No.
No.
Nah, I didn't read that far down the page.
You don't need that much info,
saw the headline, that was enough.